Bill D. and Greg R. And, oh, I'm sorry, and David, yeah, three people. So we had three people who at the last minute were asked, okay, can you chair this convention or this conference? And the OPPM committee listened to them and many other people and decided to make suggestions for a change, because that's a lot to put on somebody at the last minute. It's a role that people need to prepare for, to preside over 2 days of meetings. So this year we changed the OPPM. We didn't have time to fully implement the way it's meant to work, but what we did do is find someone that the board recommends to chair the conference, and then we will ask you to ratify that selection. Miles has been on several committees, and so as a result of getting to know him and knowing that he's done similar activities in another fellowship, and him saying, I think I can do that. I know I can do that. We are asking you to ratify that Miles will be the conference chair for the next 2 days. So with your paddles, by a show of paddles, how many people? Okay. All right. It looks pretty unanimous. Is there anybody opposed? Because we do have to go there. Okay. Anybody abstain? All right. It is unanimous. Miles C. is our conference chair. Okay. And with that, I will turn everything over to you, Miles. Okay. It's all. Thank you. And now
as I said earlier, my name is Miles, and I'm an adult child. Very happy to do this. And for all you non-Canadians, welcome to Canada, eh? We have a couple of simple housekeeping rules. Those that are parking here for the day, when you go to get a new bus, they're going to cut $4 off the parking for the day. You buy your pay for them over here at the gift shop. And they're the only ones doing the parking tickets. Phones, I hope everybody's got their cell phones on vibrate or off. It does disrupt the meetings while we're going through it. Has everybody signed up for the Medieval Festival tonight? Ooh. Let's check with the atrium earlier and make sure you can get on the list. Smoking, there are smoking areas around the hotel. Let's not throw our cigarette butts all over the street, because the hotel just have to pick them up, and maybe we might be able to come back here in another 4 or 5 years. I'd like to introduce Mel C. He is our parliamentarian for the next 2 days. Mel was picked because he does have long-time service in the beverage program. You like that one, did you? And he has served his group right up through the district, into the area, and down into New York. So Mel was pretty glad to come aboard and give us a hand, which also helps save us money. If I'm correct in this, we are moving to the acceptance of the Secretary's report from 2017. Has everybody read the minutes from 2017? Good.
I am going to give you a couple of minutes to cast your eyes over this rather than read word for word what is here. And then I will be asking someone to make a motion that we accept the minutes. And then I will be asking if there is any discussion Or maybe Miles will be doing that. I guess Miles, I take over wherever I go. Okay. what can I say? And then we will vote yay or nay. There could be things that aren't exactly right in here. I did my best to report it as given, and I have to thank Jeannie sitting over there for helping take notes last year, and also Laura L., who is not here, for giving me a list of attendees, because I didn't know who anyone was last year, so it was quite an exciting moment. You will notice that there are appendices listed that refer to the reports given. And this is done so that everything can be nice and tidy in one spot. When somebody on the board says, who did what in 2017, all that stuff will be together. But it is not here. It'll be online. Bill?
Make a motion to approve the minutes. I'll make a second.
Now, just a minute. Let's get this down. Okay, Bill approved. And
David
seconded. Okay, Miles, I think you're supposed to do something.
I'm writing for you right now.
Okay, so I'll do your job, you do mine. Okay, is there any discussion? Then, okay, yes. Members and public service. Jim. Do you have a question over there? Is your name Josh?
Yes,
oh, how did I know that? Yes. That's happened with us too in our board meetings. I'm presuming, is that how we want to do that today?
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
I believe, as I asked the parliamentarian, I believe the body can approve previous events, even if they weren't there. We are the body. We are the delegates in who are here. Thank you.
Do we have a ruling on that?
Hello, everyone. My name is Mel. I'm glad to be here. I can just perhaps tell you that at the General Service Conference in New York, in AA, which is happening this week as well, you do not, when they approve minutes, you don't have to be there. That's how AA does.
You can just look at those and say, God, that Marcia, what a formatter. The detail. And what are those little splotches there, the tears? So you could vote for that too. So all in favor of passing these or accepting these minutes, please indicate.
Are there any opposed? Any abstaining? One abstention? Two abstentions. Motion's passed.
Thank you.
Heard, you come up to the mics and speak, and that way it'll be recorded. Okay? And Bill's going to come up and do the treasurer's report.
Excuse me, Miles?
Sure.
Yeah, hi, over here. Just, is there a portable mic on your stand, on your desk there? Yeah, could you speak into that so that it goes through the speakers and we get it on the recording and goes out to the telecom?
What? Okay. Work all right? I don't need the portable for that. Okay. Good morning again. My name is Bill D. and I am an adult child. It's my distinct privilege to serve as your treasurer. I look out at our organization and I say, we are growing by leaps and bounds and we've got a lot of work to do. I think I said that earlier. I just keep saying it because it's, I see it in the numbers. I see it in our finances. So Jim, if you'd put that PowerPoint up, please. Second slide now. I'm not going to read my report either. You can read it if you like. I wouldn't. No, treasurer, Jim. We've had a good year. We've got money in the bank. Thanks. Come back next year. Okay. Thank you very much. The balance sheet's where we're starting, and I don't know if you guys can read that, but it's definitely in your book. ACAWSO ended the year with total cash assets of $412,428. Page 41, I'm sorry, bottom of page 41. Thank you. Well, I'm reading from the bottom of page 41. I've already skipped through the first three pages. I want to go right to the balance sheet. So the bottom of page 41, it says ACAWSO ended the year with total cash assets of $412,428. This reflects an increase of cash from the previous year, $76,831. Our previous year's ending cash balance was $335,597. Our total current assets were $545,081, which reflects an increase of $46,659, combining the cash and the inventory assets for that period. Leaves WSO with total assets of $667,505. An overall increase of $33,344 from the prior year. This takes into account our prudent reserve, as well as our inventory assets, our books, our literature, our medallions, and all that stuff. So we have more assets this year than we had last year because of the growth. We're buying more books than we ever have in prior history. Our liabilities for the year were $73,663, and our net income was $10,651. At the end of the year, we had a net income of $10,651, leaving us with a total liabilities and equity of $667,506 at the end of the year. Okay, go to the profit and loss, please. Our profit and loss statement allows us to look at the detail of the financial, the fiscal operations on an ongoing basis. That's on page 42, top of page 42. Well, okay, so I'm sorry. I'm reading from page 42. The profit and loss itself, you're right, is on page 48. I didn't know if you wanted to follow along with what I was reading or you wanted to look at the profit and loss statement. Okay, so the profit and loss statement,
We can see that 2017, the sales, including the cost of goods sold, what it takes to print the books, the money it requires to print them and ship them, were $512,327. That would be down, scroll down a little please, Jim, right there. That's up 11% if you look at 2016 in the second column of $463,500. That's up 11% from 2016. So we had growth of 11% in the sales. Freight was down 26%, which we believe is due to better planning of movements of the inventory and more favorable shipping rates implemented this past year. Because we now have a larger warehouse space, many of you may have been at the ABC last year, I think right after the ABC in mid-May, we moved our warehouse from a 900-square-foot facility to a 2,400-square-foot facility, just a little more than double the size. We are able to buy larger quantities of books, and in the printing publishing business, when you buy larger quantities, you get a better price. So we are able to actually lower some cost of publications this year to the members, and still maintain our necessary bottom line. Overall, the distribution centers were up 38% at $465,792. That's compared to $335,452 last year. Part of that expense was moving to the larger office space, of course. Other expenses were an increase of staff and fulfillment fees. Because we're shipping more literature, we're paying more fulfillment fees to the third-party fulfillment centers where we do business, that we have done business. We're no longer going to be doing business in one of those third-party fulfillment centers. We're bringing it back in-house because we have a larger warehouse. If you can imagine in your bedroom at home of trying to operate an inventory with a bunch of boxes of books and operate an office with a desk and have staff running around boxing up books and shipping them out in a space very small, that's what we were doing in Signal Hill. Before we went to the larger space. So by the results of going to the larger space, we're able to move more product more efficiently and get it out the door without so much delay. That left us with a net income on the publishing and printing side of the organization of $46,535 for the year. And the reason that that's important is because we look at the financials of WSO in two major areas, the printing publishing, which is the, you know, the literature and everything, and we also look at the fellowship services. And the fellowship services is is the lifeblood of this organization. That's what we do. That's our 12th step in action, is reaching out to new people and carrying this message. But we do it in two different areas because we want to see how our publishing business is doing, and we also want to see how our fellowship services is doing. And the only revenue that Fellowship Services gets is Seventh Tradition contributions. That's the only income that really has. So we look at our Seventh Tradition contributions, and we'll do that in a minute. But the publishing side is actually supporting our organization. It does a lot of 12-step groups. It contributes a lot, more so in ours. So looking at the ledger side, total income of $171,282 with $79,871 coming from Seventh Tradition. So we had Seventh Tradition contributions totaling $79,000, $79,871 last year. The balance of the revenue then came from audio book and ebook sales. I'll go back to the other slide, Jim, please. The balance of the Fellowship Services side, this is something that we've changed this year. We were putting audio and ebook sales into the Fellowship Services side because there wasn't anybody actually touching that stuff. It was just being downloaded online. So they figured if it didn't hit the distribution center, then it doesn't belong on that side of the ledger. But we've had some specialized accounting consultants that have advised us that really it should come in on the publishing side of the business. Because it's, in essence, it's digital publishing. So we're going to clean that up so we get a better view. And we had an income of $53,428 in workman's comp insurance premium overpayments for the past prior 5 years. Those were refunded in 2017. That was a one-time thing that we don't expect to see that again, but it was a nice boost to our bottom line. The total expense for the fellowship services side of the organization, this is really an interesting number, was $207,164. Remember I said we had $79,000 in contributions? Well, we spent on that side of the bit of the operation, we spent $207,000 providing those fellowship services. So we need to bring in more contributions is what I'm trying to get to. And when I say bring it in, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean I want to be self-supporting as a mature recovering ACA, and I think our fellowship would want that as well for the fellowship. So we lost $35,000 for the year in the fellowship services side, but it was less than the $62,000 loss in 2016. That left us with a bottom line all the way to the bottom of the profit and loss. Please, Jim. Next page. Right here. $10,000, so we were in the black, $10,653, the bottom line through it all. We added that to our prudent reserve. Our prudent reserve is, it looks impressive, but if you think about what it costs to operate our organization on a monthly basis, we'd have about 3 months before we'd have to be looking at emergency, austerity measures. Okay, next slide, Seventh Tradition contributions. As I said, they were $79,871. What I'm finding really amazing this year so far, the red represents 2018. The other bars are 2017. What I'm really finding amazing is that the groups and the members are supporting us in a way that's never been done before. It's given me goosebumps literally right now. Seventh Tradition contributions are start on page 52 and they go through 57. I'm sorry, you do not have the graph. I put that together in the past week. This the deadline for getting this material to the binders was a month ago or longer, and I didn't have that graph pulled up then. But if you look, the average contributions were down in last year in the 6,000, 5,000, 8,000, 6,000, 7,000 range. And then in December, we spiked a little bit, which is usually a good month for nonprofit organizations. Anyway, everybody's making their donation for the year-end taxes and things. So we spiked at 9,000, and I thought, wow, that's really great. And we come back in January, and we had, well, honestly, we had one contribution that was the maximum that WSO can accept by our OPPM was $7,500 from one individual. That was a very gracious donation. So that put us up to over $15,000 for the month. And then it followed up in February with $10,000, and then in March with $9,400. Now, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but if this trend continues, we're moving a lot closer to self-sufficiency at a faster rate than I thought we were going to. And it's just amazing. It really makes me feel good that, yes, yes. That's an annual max. So these are good signs. This is another sign that the increase of the groups and more groups are being more, more people are attending the groups, that they're able to fund and share the revenue, with WSO and their regions and their intergroups. Another question? Yes, Josh? I think we're, well, as we grow, our expenses increase as well, unfortunately. That's one downside of growth is your expenses increase. It's a mixed bag. We're seeing more contributions from existing groups because they're getting new members in, but we're also seeing new groups making contributions. And the European community, where's my Brit? There you are. The European community has made significant contributions this year to WSO and allowing us to invest back into them with literature, translations, publishing, and so forth. And, you know, without that worldwide support, and we even get donations in from Australia, from Israel, from Japan, I know I'm leaving some out, South America, they're coming from all over the world, but the bulk of them are definitely, I think, from increased attendance at current meetings. Okay. All right, yes.
Can we start going to the mic when we're talking so everybody else can hear what's going on?
Hi. I'm curious about this chart and specifically, how does 2017 compare with 2016 on a month-by-month basis? Like, 2018 is interesting, but... I presume we saw growth in 2017 compared to 2016 in terms of groups.
Not as much, not like this. 2016 also was in the $70,000 range for the 12 months of contributions. This spike is just, it's almost like what's happened here is what I'm looking at. It's like what's happened right now. 3 years ago, there were 57 delegates in April of 2016 in Florida. That was the first World Convention 3 years ago. And the ABC that was affiliated with it, this conference, had 57 delegates. Last year in San Diego, I believe we had 96 delegates. This year, and even though it's out of the country, out of the U.S., we still have over 80 delegates here today. So the thing is that, you know, this thing is growing, and it just started. We're like the wave is starting, and we're all hanging on. And we got to hang on because there's people out there that are drawing that wave to them that need this program. And so we have to hang on too. And that's what's exciting is to be on this uptake and not the downtake. So does that answer your question? About the same as in the 70s. Okay.
Hi, Tom R., PA0143. Do you do a breakout of anonymous donations versus group donations under the seventh tradition?
We do. They're listed in the report on page 57. You can see the anonymous.
As a percentage of overall contributions?
No, I haven't got that detailed with it, Tom, to be honest with you. But the reason that a lot are listed anonymous is because we don't want to put somebody's name on there that made a contribution. Doesn't mean that they necessarily sent in a donation and said, this is an anonymous donation. But we don't want to list anyone's name. We'll list the group names on here. If a donation's made in the name of a group or an intergroup or country, we will list that, but we won't put a person's name on here. So that's another reason it says anonymous. Any other questions? All right, I think that wraps up. Is that the last slide, Jim? Oh, it's not the last slide. Yes, Haas, you want to go to the microphone, please? The one right back there behind you. But we have people all around the world listening to this today, so they can only hear us if we're talking through the microphones.
Mm-hmm. What is the current balance between income from book sales and Seventh Tradition? I didn't get that.
That is, I'm glad you asked that, because I kind of deliberately didn't go there. Our program, as I mentioned earlier, AA's program is 57% of its income is book sales and literature sales versus 43% of the as contributions. Just a little more than that. Mm. Ours, unfortunately, is 86% book sales and 14% contributions. We're a smaller organization, but ratio-wise, you know, their numbers are, we're not holding the level with the contributions. And that's the reason for this last slide. We're excited in finance. This, go ahead, another question.
Yeah, I would just like to hear, as a treasurer, how do you see that balance ideally? What should it be, the balance?
It should be over 35% contributions.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, self-supporting is part of our seventh tradition. So when we're relying on book sales a lot to carry our message. That's not necessarily a bad thing because the message is still getting out there, but we could do more. And I know I can do more. And that's what brings me to this last slide, which you guys don't have in your binder because it just got created. And my talented assistant, Lenny, MPS special worker, deviated over into finance a little bit and helped us out with this because she's got great skills. And what we're looking at is Carol, actually. Where's Carol? There she is. Carol, actually, from her from the days in the 90s when you served on the board back then, they had a black and white, where does the money go, flyer. And it was like a public information thing for groups to say where the money goes that they send to WSO. So this is a where does the money go. It talks about the suggested allocations. Can I use your portable mic just a second? Thank you. It talks about what a group needs to do for itself in order to be self-sufficient financially. It's got to pay rent, refreshments, literature chips, new member packets, public outreach, and a prudent reserve. And it's suggested minimum of 3 months prudent reserve. Unless you're really active like an intergroup and you're hosting events and things like that, you may need some more if you've got a lot of overhead. So that's the WSO says if you could to take care of your group's needs first and then split whatever you have left 60-30-10 with 60 going to your local intergroup, which uses all of these things to your money for all those things, and then 30% to your region if one exists, and they do all of these things with that money. And then if there's no region, then you can donate that percentage to WSO if you'd like to. Can you scroll up just a little more, Jim? And what WSO does with your funds is the 10% that we get from the groups, or 40 if there's no region, we pay 3 full-time, 4 part-time employees, we rent office space, we run a publishing business, we maintain a website, meeting list, do translations, group assistance, public outreach, and you'll hear more about the public outreach we're doing in another committee report, and answer phones, emails, and the regular